Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. Welcome, Mr. Utusitse Mbeha. Dumela re.
Dumela ntate le kae.
Re teng le kae ntate.
Ra tsoga.
No, lorna re tsogile. Welcome, welcome, and welcome. Now, across our region, our nations share a unique reality. The powerful mix of modern statutory laws and deep-rooted traditional justice systems. And today, we are shining a spotlight on Botswana, a country widely celebrated for successfully blending these two legal worlds through its dual court system. But how does it actually work on the ground? And so today, we're unpacking the practical differences between Botswana's customary courts and its statutory courts. We'll explore the two, we will explore who actually holds the power, how disputes over property and debt are settled, and what lessons for the rest of Southern Africa can learn from this system. Now, let's start with the basics for our listeners. What is the fundamental difference between bringing the dispute to a customary court led by a khosi versus going to a magistrate's court?
Thank you so much for this golden opportunity for my person to rise to the occasion and attempt to inform, if not educate, the public and your fellow listeners on this very critical subject. Perhaps it's a prefatory statement or remarks. Allow me to delve on the issue of the definitional refinement. Since you're talking courts or customary courts versus what you term as statutory courts, but perhaps it is very imperative for your listeners to know what a court is. So a court in law is defined as an adjudicative forum or body that is created or established by law to exercise some judicial functions in interpreting the law of the land and also to resolve legal disputes between private persons or sometimes between the state and private persons and other key stakeholders or entities, the likes of companies, NGOs, so on and so forth. So that is a court in a nutshell. It is distinct from a legislative body like parliament or another tribunal like a commission of inquiry, like an ad hoc committee or even parliament itself, and is also distinct from an executive arm of the government. So that is what court is. You talk about customary courts versus statutory courts. It's also imperative for me to clarify, if not disabuse, that in fact, the way you put it, it's a misclassification the courts. There is no such thing like custom, even though, yes, there are customary courts and statutory courts. All courts are statutory courts. Statutory courts implying or connoting, if not denoting, that they are created by statutory law. So all courts in Botswana are creatures of statutory law or statute or acts of parliament. So in this instance, our customary courts are provided for or are created or established by the Customary Courts Act. And where else on the other side? Our other courts, the Court of Appeal, the High Court, the Magistrates' Courts, the Court Martial, and the Industrial Court are also courts which are created by specific legislation. The Court of Appeal, the High Court are created by the Constitution of Botswana and some other acts of parliament like the High Court Act and the Court of Appeal Act, the Magistrates Court Act. So that is how they look like. And for your customary courts in Botswana, unlike the High Court, the Court of Appeal, allow me to call the High Court, the Court of Appeal, the Court Martial, and the Industrial Court as courts of records. That is how they are normally classified.
Okay.
That they are court of records, and also they to the exclusion of the magistrate courts. They are called superior courts.
Okay.
Because they deal with very weighty matters between litigants or disputants.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go on to state that for your customary court, the manner of establishing them is rather different from how these other senior or superior courts are created in Botswana. Customary courts are meant by, or rather, they exist in three categories.
Mm-hmm.
We have the lower customary court,
mm-hmm.
you have your higher customary court, and finally, the customary court of appeal.
Okay.
And the lower customary court and the higher customary court of appeal are presided over by traditional leaders, your typical qazis or chiefs mm-hmm. in Botswana. Mm-hmm. And whereas the customary court of appeal on the other side is still presided over by chiefs, but in every instance of their face from the lower customary court to all the way to the customary court of appeal, the appointing authority for such presiding officers is the relevant minister, in this case, the minister for local government and traditional affairs. Whereas the manner in which judges or presiding officers over courts of superior record, or let me call them common law courts,
okay.
your court of appeal, your high mm-hmm. court and magistrate's court. These common law courts are meant by trained personnel, people who have a minimum of an LLB degree
mm-hmm.
in law, and they are appointed through the coordination, the collaboration of the Judicial Service Commission
mm-hmm.
with the final assent of the President of mm-hmm. the Republic.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how they are distinguished. Customary court, like I've said, is more traditional. It adjudicates disputes of lesser importance.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, their jurisdiction may vary from tribe to tribe.
Uh-huh.
Maybe
okay.
the one in Nwaketsi does not have similar jurisdiction as opposed to the similar jurisdiction to the one that sits somewhere in the northern part of Botswana.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is that the Enabling Act, or rather the Creating Act, which is the Customary Courts Act, gives the minister the power to establish various customary courts across the length and breadth of Botswana by establishing or issuing a warrant. So that warrant is the one specific and important legal instrument which spells out the scope or the extent of their jurisdiction. So it's not universal or uniform. It varies from one customary court to the next, and their jurisdiction is stated in that warrant established by the minister. So it's difficult for me from this point to say or even predict that this one court in Kanye or in the southern part of Botswana or northern part or eastern side of Botswana
mm-hmm.
Has this size of jurisdiction to entertain a particular dispute. Whereas your common law courts, it's clear from the statute creating them that they have this amount of jurisdiction. For instance, the High Court has unlimited civil and criminal jurisdiction to entertain any dispute. The Court of Appeal also has well spelled out codified jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe before you could step in as you do your follow-up questions, let mm-hmm. me just also say that,
sorry.
Unfortunately, look, for Customary Courts Act, their jurisdiction is quite limited to very, I would say, trivial matters.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they apply customary law of a particular tribe. There is no universal or uniform customary law in Botswana as well,
mm-hmm.
because our customary law is unwritten, is uncodified. It differs from tribe to tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time, it is known by the elderly people of that particular or concerned tribe, whatever the case might be.
Mm-hmm.
So let me stop here. I see that our time is also running fast.
It is flying. But hey, I'm happy that you're actually being quite thorough in dealing with this, so that we can understand how the courts and their levels are situated. Now, what is the highest court of the land?
The highest court of the land, they normally call it the apex court.
Mm-hmm.
In Botswana, is the court of appeal.
It is the court of appeal.
I mean, yeah, court of appeal. It was established in 1973, but before then, under colonization, it started off in 1955.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
So the court of appeal does deal with constitutional issues?
Yes, it has constitutional jurisdiction. In fact, the Court of Appeal Act says or provides that our apex court has all the jurisdiction of the High Court.
I see.
So it has no limited or fettered jurisdiction. It's unfettered.
Mm-hmm.
There are no chains put around its neck. Mm-hmm. It can deal with any legal question anywhere, arising anywhere in Botswana.
Now, yes. Talk to me about the issue of precedence, especially as it affects, the when you traverse between your customary courts, well, inverted commas, and the statutory courts. How does precedence work there?
A precedent, and I know most people mistake it for precedence.
Mm.
It's actually not precedence.
Precedent.
The precedent is a very important and cardinal feature of our lawmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Lawmaking in this context, narrowly, I refer to what they call judicial legislation. Sometimes, mm-hmm. or most of the time, it is called judge-made law.
Mm-hmm.
Ordinarily, at a basic level, judges are not obligated. In fact, their duty is not to enact law or to pass legislation. That is a specific function that belongs to parliament.
Mm-hmm.
But our courts have come to accept over the years that in the process of interpreting the law, they end up shaping the law and developing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so ultimately, others have said that the law is not law until the judge has said, until the judge has interpreted. So in this instance, the principle of precedence within the context of what they also call stare decisis.
Mm-hmm.
Stare decisis meaning that, the let decided settled matters. Let settled matters alone. That if a matter has been decided in a particular way, and if a similar matter arises in the future, there is no need to reinvent the wheel. It must be decided and adjudicated in a similar manner, in the way that the first one was decided.
Mm-hmm.
So it sets tone and pays for what would subsequently follow. And it becomes imperative for the rule of law that the law has to be certain.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be consistent, so that we don't have one application within a case which is on all fours or has similar homogeneous facts
mm-hmm.
from what will appear next time in the future. So
mm-hmm.
the precedents apply between it's created by the High Court in our instance and the Court of Appeal,
mm-hmm.
and most importantly, the Court of Appeal. If the Court of Appeal has decided that for instance, one of the vexing issues in Botswana of late was whether upon dissolution of marriage in community of property, do pension benefits which have not yet accrued form part of the joint estate such that they can be divided? The Court of Appeal has said no,
mm-hmm.
they do not form part of the joint estate. So the High Court is bound by the decision of the Court of Appeal, and so are the magistrates' courts and the court and the customary courts if they are to decide a similar issue in the future. So that is what a precedent means. It means that the decision of a superior court binds lower courts. In this
mm-hmm.
case, it would anything that is below the Court of Appeal. If you are dealing with a case that was decided by the High Court, it will therefore bind any court below it, which is the magistrates' courts and also the customary courts.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's a lovely, beautiful explanation, quite comprehensive. Thank you so much for that. Now, our time is flying and I've only gone through one or two questions here. Now, many people talk about the khotla, and we would normally, especially from where we're standing outside of the country. How does the customary court differ from the traditional village meetings, the khotla, or mediation, you know, and what gives its decisions actual legal power?
Generally speaking, any court, not just the customary courts, it has to be a creature of statute.
Mm-hmm.
And it must be recognized as such by law.
Mm-hmm.
So any meeting under a Murula tree, or under any tree for that matter, mm-hmm. or any gathering for that matter,
mm-hmm.
does not have the force of law to the extent that it must be reckoned as a court, because there is no law that establishes it as such.
I see.
So that mm-hmm. is the white and black line of distinction between a forum called a court and any other meeting or gathering of people where they decide certain issues either of national importance or otherwise. So that's what distinguishes it from the rest. And as long as it has, in the narrow case of a customary court, it must be duly established in terms of the Customary Courts Act, and then finally be followed by a warrant issued by the Minister of Local Government. So if there is no such a warrant establishing and recognizing it as such, it cannot amount to a court. It will merely be a different forum or something else.
Mm. Okay, that's lovely. Now, let's go to the last question. We're going to be going through everything, unfortunately, today.
Yeah.
Talk about property boundaries and land use. And probably this is going to take long, but I wish that you could maybe just compress it, and we'll probably talk to the producer to organize another time so that we can actually go through other issues. Now, let's talk about property boundaries, excuse me, and the land use. You know, common issues around our communities. If there's a dispute over land or cattle, which court would you say is the most appropriate, or which has got jurisdiction?
My advice to any listening potential litigants now is to go to the High Court.
Immediately to the High Court.
In my view, there is no justice at the customary court. Why? Because it is manned by personnel not trained in or even schooled in law.
I see.
So justice is very wanting in my view in the customary courts structure. So
tell me, is the customary court then not founded on principles of justice and fairness?
Of course it is, but in terms of how it functions, mm-hmm. you'd find that not even legal representation is allowed before the customary court. Mm-hmm. When the Constitution says that every person who appears before a competent and competent court must be afforded legal representation. Mm-hmm. But the Customary Courts Act takes away that representation. In fact, I find it to be very unconstitutional. I don't understand why we still have customary courts trying disputes without allowing parties to have legal representation. The rationale could be that, yes, the presiding officers are not lawyers, and so maybe they might find they may have a tough time dealing with lawyers. But that is even the more reason why I feel that customary courts, in my view, I've argued elsewhere that these are just useless forums that have been overtaken by time.
But let's just quickly, I know that we're completely out of time, but Untusize, I know you've argued that and you have said that, and I do accept that. But let's talk about the issue of access. Because, you see, access to a higher court could have costs that are prohibitive for someone.
Yes, but I also need to tell you that there is no point for you to subject yourself to a cheap process which has dire consequences. actually it becomes even more expensive if the outcome is unjust and unfair. Mm-hmm. It's price.
You are not talking as a lawyer who is interested to making a killing out of this?
No, no, of course I am. But the thing is this. If you want to go to the customary law, to the customary court, you are going there at your own risk. Mm-hmm. Because like I've said, it doesn't guarantee justice as common law courts do. So my view is that the best you are better off going to the magistrate courts, mm-hmm. going to the High Court and the Court of Appeal.
Mm. Because my imagination is that if you go to a customary court, the issue of access is actually quite manageable there than you would go to. Because if you go to a magistrate court, of course, it's going to be attracting costs. But if you go to a customary court where people like yourself, who are actually looking to making sure that they get money. Of course, justice and fairness, equity is all important. But you are a practicing lawyer, so if I approach you, you're going to be sending me to a magistrate court, whereas I don't have the funds to do that. I could actually go to a customary court.
By the way, let me tell you something. It's not about the money per se. Mm. It's about going to the most competent forum in that particular context and instance. And even the common law courts, there's free access. Anyone can litigate by themselves. In fact, nowadays we have advanced to the stage where the court administrators can actually assist you to file a summons or to do an application for domestic violence. They can walk you through the steps. So that's why I'm saying that you are better off going to the common law courts as opposed to going to the customary courts.
Beautiful stuff. Well,
but at the end of the day, look, it's up to you. And these forums exist, but no one is going to dictate to you to prefer the high court over the customary courts. It's up to you to weigh the options and see what works best for you.
Mm. Well, but thank you so much for the time that you've given us. But this afternoon, unfortunately, we only just went through just two or three of the questions that we had prepared. We'll see if the producer can actually organize another time for us. But I must thank you so much for coming through today.
Anytime. Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much and goodbye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.